absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, hello, once again. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am JT here with the Fantasy Rev, or Rev Fantasy, I should say. And you know what time it is. It's the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 if you want to talk to Rev or me. We got a great show in store for you tonight, today, this morning. A little bit of Gap Band to start you off. And after we cut this off, we're going to be talking about the fantasy playoffs. Hopefully, this is week two in the semifinals for most people that are in fantasy. Hopefully, you've survived and advanced and are able to call yourself a semifinalist, hoping to get into the finals in the fantasy. We're going to break down every game this week, including the Monday night game that pertains to fantasy. There's some key players that are out. There's some subs that are in. And God help you if you have them, because you're crossing your fingers, you're crossing your eyes, you're crossing your legs, hoping that these guys that you put in place will help you win and move you on to the finals. Without further ado, let me stop talking and bring in my co-host, Rev Fantasy. Talk to me.
JT, my brother from another mother, like no other. What's going on this fine Sunday morning?
Hey, from what you tell me, on the left coast and on the east coast, it's one of these chilly football style type weather. 30s on both coasts. That's crazy. You tell me that you're on the west coast and it's in the 30s right now. Well, I know it's in the 30s over here. Man, crazy.
Hey,
anyway,
weather won't keep me down. I'm ready to speak some sermon this morning about some fantasy.
I hear you, my man. We have another guy who just called in. I know who this guy is. I haven't talked to him in a while, and I'm surprised because he's usually a regular. And I got to welcome him because I haven't talked to him in a while, and I need to say hello to my man Macau. What's up, my man?
What's up, man? Hey, look, I've been chasing them papers. You know what I mean? I've been meaning to call.
Right.
You know, Thursday I missed out. Yesterday I missed out. I had a meet Thursday or whatever, but I'm here now. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you need to talk about today, you need to talk to me first, because I got a rack of stuff to get up off my chest.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you want to get to the hottest latest thing that happened last night, we can do that. Or if you want to go in on me about my skins, I'm ready for that too. It's your choice.
Okay. Well, as you know, or as you don't know, I have now a co-host, Mr. called Rev Fantasy, and so Rev Fantasy, this is one of my go-to guys, or one of my guys I talk to quite a bit, and he and I are definitely on the same page. Macau, Rev Fantasy, Macau.
What's going on,
What's happening, Rev?
Oh, hopefully what's good is we're going to talk some fantasy today and make some money.
All right. Yep. First of all, let's do this. Now, I got to get this boy props. 19 years old. He's going to be playing for the national championship on his 20th birthday. 19 years old, the youngest Heisman Trophy winner in all of college football. I got to give props out to Jameis Winston for winning the Heisman Trophy. Your thoughts, Rev, and then Macau.
Okay, hey, JT, I didn't think there was any doubt that my man Jameson was going to win the award. And sure as what we thought, the proof was in the pudding. It was a landslide vote, probably one of the widest votes, and they said in the last 20-plus years. So, hey, hats off to him. He's a great young kid with his potential, and his upside is through the roof. I see this guy playing on Sundays here shortly. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Florida State. I'm still a little sour over my Buckeyes laying a goose egg on me. But, hey, it's all good. Hey, I give props to where props is due. And hats off on this Sunday morning to my man, Jameson Winston, for winning the Heisman.
Talk to me, Macau.
Yeah, I mean, the writing was on the wall. This younger was going to get it. You know, not surprised. Not surprised at all. Good luck to him. Hope he do well, you know what I'm saying? You know, because there's a history of, you know, Heisman Trophy winners with a lot of controversies around them, you know, before. So, you know, hopefully he could do his thing, you know, come on to the NFL.
All right. Well, we have another call. Man, full lineup here today. A bunch of early risers, my co-host, and then you, McCall, and then my week in one of my leagues, week one opponent. Oh my God, we got somebody else. A week one opponent happens to be back to back. We played last week, and he got me, and now he wants to come back on here and probably talk some smack or just wish me good luck. I'm talking about Slick Rick. What's up, my man?
Not wishing no good luck. I'm just, like, coming through to voice my displeasure with ESPN for making me do this again. It seems like every time me and Jerry, every time we play in fantasy, one of us has the option to eliminate the other, and it doesn't happen, and we end up having to play each other again. Well, it's nothing for me to say this time because the fantasy gods are playing with our emotions right now, so I'm going to leave it alone. Really don't have too much to say about it because that's when karma comes in and messes everything up. But good morning to the fellas that's online.
Okay. And we have another caller. I mean, this is a full boat here we got here. Almost too many, but that's okay. We got Mr. FSP coming to talk about how he got beat down last week. Mr. Gardner, talk to me. How you doing, my man?
Really, really, how I got beat down last week, it's okay. There's two things I want to talk about, and I want to thank you, Jerry. And is that fake Reverend on the line? Because, you know, he needs to learn how
Don't call my co-host fake. He's all real to me.
They call you fake, and I defend you, too, so I understand. But anyway, there's two things I want to say. Jerry, I solved your problem. Ricky, I solved your problem. And Reverend, I solved your problem. And by the way, Mr. Bronner's problem was just solved last night as well. So he's
oh, man, I was trying to get to that.
He was no longer.
I was trying to get to that. I was trying to wait for Jerry to say something about it.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before you guys go any further, this is breaking news to me. So whatever you're talking about, I don't know about.
Trying to break
Miranda whooped his butt last night, and
His name is Morena.
Whatever. He beat his butt last night.
Yeah, he
was trying.
Hey, Reverend, you know what he's talking about?
Jerry, can you meet the dude, please? Thank you.
What problem?
Because here's the deal. The dude was so embarrassed. He didn't give an interview. You know how loquacious this guy is. He didn't give any interview. You know what? I felt like he did when the Reverend beat me last week in fantasy football. So I understood why he didn't want to talk. But he got his butt whooped, and he was, you know, ashamed. And you know how braggadocious he normally is, like, oh, I'm the best. No, he got destroyed in a fight. And
he did not get destroyed in that fight.
Okay.
All right, wait a minute, Victor. Victor, I want to hear what Macau has to say because he has a different perspective, so I want to hear what he has to say.
No, No, I don't have a different perspective. I have a correct perspective.
Okay.
Bona got his ass whooped, right? But it was no destruction. It was no destruction.
Hold on, you get your butt whooped, you don't get the okay.
No, it was no destruction. It was no destruction.
Okay.
That was a hell of a fight, Jerry. You missed a hell of a fight. It was a hell of a fight. But, you know, true to form, my cousin, you never change.
Really?
You took this opportunity to take a stab at this young man because of how he is. But you display the same type of traits. You just don't put him out there like he do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, Jerry, it was a hell of a fight. That young man, Morena, he put it on. He put it on Bona. He put it on him. When Bona figured out that he was in a wreck, that's when he tried to get it back, right? So Youngin just kept swinging Morena. He kept swinging. He was just swinging good, and he was landing them left hooks. He was catching Bona real good on the left hook, but he could not. He stopped backing up about the ninth, tenth round. Bona did. He stopped backing up and just started going, you know, pushing forward through those punches, which was, you know, respectable, you know what I mean? But he still got his ass whooped. It was no destruction.
I gotta laugh.
You got to laugh. You got to laugh.
Jerry,
you're true to form. I'm
going
to
let you and the Reverend go on with the show. I just want to call you about that. But if someone's going to say they got their butt whooped, and I use the term destruction, it's really just a matter of words. I mean, hey, it is what it is. You know,
it's not a matter of words. It's a matter of perspective. And you are true to your form.
Let's put it this way. When I see the fight, which obviously I didn't see the fight and didn't know about it until you two had brought the subject up, I'm going to get the opportunity to watch the fight. I guess it was on, what, Showtime? Is that what it was on?
Yeah,
or
it was
HBO?
On Showtime.
Okay. So more than likely sometime this week they're going to replay the fight, and I'll assess it for myself. And if it's before Thursday, which it should be, I'll talk about it on Thursday. What you guys told me, regardless of who told me what and how they told me, that's a big surprise. I didn't think Adrian Broner was going to lose. And if he lost in the fashion that you guys are describing, whether he got destroyed or he just got beat, it didn't make a difference. He lost.
Exactly.
He got his ass beat.
Oh, my God.
And to Victor's point, he did not stay in the ring. He got the hell up out of there.
If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Even in losing,
you got to be there. You got to stand up there like a man and address the media. So
exactly.
you got to take the good with the
bad.
And I got to fault him for that.
Right, but I totally agree. But I'm not going to sit here and grandstand on it like my cousin is.
All right, let's move on here. We're gonna break down these games on fantasy wise. We got a full slate of guys here, five guys, including myself. We're gonna try to break down these as quick. Excuse me.
I'm about to drop. I just wanted to call in and get that in because I didn't think you saw the fight or not. Instead of posting on your Facebook page, I just called you up and tell you. That way, it's no big surprise. But, Reverend, I can't wait to hear the sermon. Jerry, you know what to do with Ricky. Ricky, you know what you can do. And my cousin, Mike. Whatever. I got love for each and every last one of you because I don't put Ricky out in the free league. And
Victor, this is what you do, Victor. Make sure you have pen and pad. And make sure you take a copious notes because I want you able to put them to use, not this year, but next year.
Next year. Matchup, and quite naturally, anything can happen. So do not, you know, the proverbial, don't count your chickens before they hatch. So I'm telling you right now.
Don't listen up here for whatever deal
shoes away yet.
You and that dude got right there. I don't know what deal y'all got going on.
Hey, Jerry, we're going to get it done. That's all it is.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that what y'all do? Y'all going
to
ring your
own?
No.
Listen to the show. Listen to last week's show, and you'll hear what we discussed. Because I'm going to make sure this is a sole effort. We're going to this is a co-commissioner type thing right here. We're going to make sure this happens.
It's going to be, it's going to be the imp. Jerry, Ricky's the imp. You're Ned Stark. And I've got to be the bastard Jon Snow. Because there must be some Game of Thrones.
You're nowhere in the conversation. Let's get it right.
Like
you put yourself somewhere where you're not. You're not even a part of this. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry, Victor. It's nothing against you. Don't worry. This is something that can lead to big and better things. Am I right about that, Ricky?
Now, of course.
Yes.
If you're dealing with Ricky, it's doomed to fail.
You have no idea. You have no idea. Anyway.
Have a good show.
Thank you very much.
I'm about to jump on and meet all y'all.
I just muted him. I just muted him.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
You are the biggest loser.
Hey, Jerry, you know I'm about to do the same thing to all y'all. You know I'm about to do the same thing.
Hey, Ricky, man, I started a revolution a couple of weeks ago. It's called Stomping Out FSP, so we can all start a revolution.
Please email me.
Hey, we're going to give him his walking papers.
I got to get a petition list together to get most of the state to sign off on this. I will. Just let me know the details.
Man, it's the giving season, right? It's the holiday season, so let's give FST an ass whooping. That's what you're going to get for Christmas.
Always in the gift-giving season, an ass whooping.
I tried to tell him, man. I started it back in October. I was like, hey, man, I'm going to give you I'm in the gift-giving season. I want to give you an ass whooping early.
That's right.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on to the first game. This is pretty ironic. First game we're going to jump up on the docket here is the Washington Redskins at the Atlanta Falcons, the first of 1 o'clock games. Alfred Morris. Now, both these teams, now, this is probably, if you have one or two of these players in either of these teams, I have a feeling that this is going to be a shootout because both these teams can score some points, but both these teams give up a lot of points also because both these teams' defense really, in I'll put it plainly, suck. So you play Alfred Morris without a doubt. You play Pierre Garçon because I think he's going to have a good game. And I also would say if you're in desperation mode and you need a quarterback, I wouldn't hesitate because I think he's probably going to have a good game because he's going to probably have to throw a lot to his weapons. Kirk Cousins, he's probably a little bit more conservative in his approach in the passing game compared to Robert Griffin. And I think in my opinion, he can read defenses better than Robert Griffin and is probably I wouldn't say a more accurate passer, but he's probably a better passer than Robert Griffin. The only thing he doesn't do as well is run with the ball. On the other side, you play Matt Ryan. There's no two ways about it. You play Steven Jackson because he's been running well lately, without a doubt. And in the passing game, Tony Gonzalez should have a very good day. Roddy White, even though that he's dealing with some type of minor knee issue, should have a good day. And also a wide receiver 3, maybe in the flex. If you need a flex and you want to use a wide receiver, you can use Harry Douglas. I'm going to go to my co-host first, then to Ricky, and then to Macau, and last but not least, FSP. Talk to me, guys.
Okay, ATA, this is Rev. Hey, I couldn't agree more with you, brother. I think with the Washington, the way this game is set up, I think it's set up for Kirk Cousins to have a solid game. I think the one thing that Atlanta cannot do is they can't get after the quarterback. So with that being said, Washington's line leaks like a sieve. And I think this game is set up for Kirk Cousins to be a pocket passer. I think he can get down the field. I look for Pierre Garçon to have a monster day. I think he can have against that Atlanta secondary. He can do some things along with Alfred Morris. I think this is a day that you definitely are always going to start Alfred Morris, but I think he can have a monster day as well. Looking at the Atlanta side, I think you said it all. JT, Matty Ice, I think he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder for the rest of the season because he's kind of underperformed up to this point. So I look for him to come out and do some things. This game is built also for him with the Washington defense not being as, you know, where they've been in the recent years. I think this is set up for him to have a monster day. Like you said, Steven Jackson's, somehow he's found his kneecaps again, and he's running like the old Steven Jackson. And look, this is a favorable matchup because Washington cannot stop the run. So I look for Steven Jackson to be a RB2, solid RB2 start, along with Roddy White being a wide receiver 2. Tony Gonzalez nearing the end of his career. I think he's going to just ball out for these next 3 games and play like we haven't seen him play this season. Harry Douglas, solid flex start. And I think, like you said, JT, I think this is going to be a shootout. So I look for a lot of fancy points across the board for all those players that we mentioned. I'll hand it off to Ricky.
Well, I have to go off of my 3-13 chance now because they've put in Kirk Cousins, so I am hoping for like 4-12 or 5-11 or something like that. But as far as they go, y'all, there's really nobody else I can talk about. Y'all hit everybody on the board. I'm hoping Roddy White does his thing because the defense for the Skins is just that vulnerable. So I'm looking for them to win. It's going to definitely be a shootout. We'll just see what happens. But it's not, I really don't have no undercover players. Logan Paulson, if you need a tight end, that'll be a good pickup. Logan Paulson.
It's McCall.
Man, I was, for as far as the Redskins, I would stay away from everyone not named Alfred. Everyone. I don't know. I don't know which team y'all watching and all this nonsense.
Hey.
And how y'all can come to this conclusion that it's set up for Kirk Cousins and whatnot, because the damn nobody knows what's going on at Redskins Park. Nope.
Yeah,
absolutely,
Michael.
No one.
Absolutely no one.
No, you don't.
We definitely
no,
do.
You
yeah,
don't.
We do.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You got a coach sitting up there talking with three heads. You got all kind of fictitious stories floating around. You don't know which one's true, which one is the real thing. You know what I'm saying? You got them writing the stories just to sell the papers and the click and get more clicks online. It's disgusting what's going on now here. But I would not take anyone. I wouldn't take Kirk Cousins. I wouldn't take nothing on the Redskins but Al Ford. That's it. That's all. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't see. I can't see a shootout. That front line can't hold water. They couldn't hold water for Robert. You know what I'm saying?
You see a shootout because you're going to see the base of the offense this week.
Nah.
That's it.
Nah. It, the only way to be a shootout is if they put Rex Grossman in there. No, Kirk ain't going to do it. He's going to be all right, but he's not going to stink up the joint, but he's not going to be this all world like that. He ain't going to have no banner day. Nah, it ain't happening. I'd take any wide receiver that's starting from Atlanta. Take Matty Ice, definitely. Gonzalez, everybody. Anybody on offense. Hell, if they suit up a wide receiver, you want to take him too. You know what I'm saying? And I would definitely start the Atlanta defense. Definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right, let's go to Victor. Victor, talk to me. This is your team. Talk to me. And what about this matchup fantasy-wise?
Oh, you didn't know? Well, your ass better cut somebody. Here's what I'm saying. I think that we need to look at a whole bunch of different things going on in this game. And a lot of it is dynamics of how they're going to play the game. If you look at when they played Cleveland, and I think Ricky hit the point, because I agree with exactly what he said. I said it yesterday, that they're going to run a more traditional offense, whereas Alfred Morris is going to be the star of this offense this week. Pierre Garçon is somebody that will show up in this game because Kirk Cousins obviously knows how to get him the ball better. When he did play in the preseason, when he played last year, when he played throughout this preseason, he targets him a lot. One person that is going to probably have a very good game, I think Rev put it out there, was Steven Jackson. We have a forced run defense, a poor secondary, so everybody on the Atlanta's team that's on the offense will probably have a good day. But on the backside of that, Atlanta's secondary really, really, really is garbage. The problem is our receivers can't hold on to the ball. So, of course, I'm going to pick my Skins to win, but as I said, I believe the gem of the game is going to be Alfred Morris because he's going to get the ball 25 times. He's going to touch the ball 25 times in this game. If he doesn't, then, you know, shenanigans again. But that's about it for me.
Okay. Let's move on to the next game, which happens to be a pretty interesting game in itself. We have in the Chicago Bears, the 6-6 Chicago Bears, Well, it's 7-6. Chicago Bears visiting the Cleveland Browns with Jay Cutler coming back. Now, this is an interesting perspective because I have Jay Cutler in one of my leagues as my starting quarterback in my one of my semifinals, and there's a conflict, or I should say a discussion on whether Jay Cutler should come back or Josh McCown should stay in and lead this team because he's been doing so well. Well, he's been doing so well because he's going up against suspect defenses, for one. He's been doing so well because they've catered to what Josh McCown does the best, and he's probably playing the best ball that he's ever played, and he's been, for the most part, a career backup, and sooner or later, those backup wheels are going to fall off, and you don't want it to fall off in a playoff push. So Jay Cutler's healthy, and in my opinion, he's probably the best choice to play going forward. So if you have Jay Cutler, I think this is not a really good matchup, but it's not a bad matchup because Cleveland has been giving up touchdowns on a regular basis. Like the last three games, they've been giving up touchdowns pretty regular. Jay Cutler has a rapport with Brandon Marshall, for one, and I'm pretty sure that he's going to have a rapport with Alshon Jeffrey, especially the way he's been playing. So I would play Jay Cutler in a two-quarterback league. I'm playing him in a one-quarterback league because I think he's my best choice. Quite naturally, they play Matt Forte. He's a running back one, without a doubt. Martellus Bennett, I think in this passing attack that they have from Chicago, I think he's going to do well against Cleveland. He's probably a low-end tight end one. High upside tight end too, but these two wide receivers probably the best tandem in the league. Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, two big wide receivers with a huge wingspan. Both these guys are wide receivers. One in my opinion, these guys have been balling out, and they've been hot of late. On the other side, now in this Yahoo league, I've been scrambling around trying to get a quarterback, and I like the way this quarterback's been playing, especially with one of my favorite wide receivers, Josh Gordon. Jason Campbell, in my opinion, he's a QB2 in a two-quarterback league. I'm playing as my starting quarterback because I think he's been playing well. And with that coach, North Turner, as the offensive coordinator. Yeah, offensive coordinator. I think he is found his – well, he's definitely found his niche as an offensive coordinator. And no matter what quarterback has been in that position in Cleveland, have been doing relatively well with the system that they run. They're going to probably run the ball quite a bit because Chris Abiyana, whatever his freaking name is going to run wild against the Chicago defense. They can't stop me rushing the ball. I'm almost damn near 60 years old. So I like him as a running back too, with upside. He may run wild. They may run the ball like crazy. But along with him and Jordan Cameron, and you know I love Josh Gordon, you start all these guys and don't have to cross your hands. Don't have to cross your feet or eyes or fingers. These guys should do well against this pretty bad Chicago defense. Talk to me, Rev.
Okay, JT, you said, you pretty much nailed the nail on his head, man. I think this game is a great game for Jay Cutler to come back in and kind of reestablish himself in this offense. I mean, Cleveland defense, I love my Browns. I'm from the Cleveland area, but these guys are like Jekyll and Hyde, man. And lately, they've just been ugly. Like the last 3 weeks, they've been giving up like 30-plus points a game. And even my man Joe Hayden been getting torched. And it just don't look promising when you got the Twin Towers, Alshon Jeffries, and you got Brandon Marshall coming at you. He can't guard both. And I think Cutler, like you said, definitely a QB1 this week. He'll put up big numbers.
Matt Forte. I look for Matt Forte in this game to go crazy. I think with his versatility, being able to receive the ball and run, he could easily maybe pull 100 rushing and 100 catching in this game. It's going to be sloppy field conditions. So I expect to see something crazy like we saw in Philadelphia possibly last week with Shady. Someone in this game is going to go crazy, and I don't know who it is. I would say I put my money on Matt Forte. From the Cleveland side of things, I like what you said about Jason Campbell. I was going to come in today, and I thought I was going to say something that we might not all have been thinking, that Jason Campbell was going to be he was going to be my sleeper pick of the week for our people out there. I love this guy, his upside in this offense. When he gets in there, he's throwing for over 350 a pop. His problem is the interception. So you need to build a counteract at what Jason Campbell's going to show up today. That Bears defense is terrible. Like you said, I think all four of us, all five of us, could rush for 100 yards in a game against these guys. And so I think it sets up perfect for Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron in this game. And like you said, Chris Abignani, I told you, I said it a couple weeks ago, I don't like starting anybody in fantasy. I can't pronounce their name, but I'm going to make an exception for today. I think he's a solid RB2, definitely a flex. I think with the sloppy field conditions and playing against Chicago's defense, this guy could be in for a payday too today. I'll go ahead and hand it off to Rick.
Well, I've got to differ with both of y'all. I don't think that Cutler's going to do it today. You're going to see the wrong Cutler today. Joe Hayden likes to step up to the big name receiver, and we know Cutler's taken a liking to Brandon Marshall ever since. Both of them been in their whole career together, basically, except for probably like a couple of years. He goes to Marshall a lot, and I think Joe Hayden is just going to cut him out. Now, the thing for me is Cutler going to be able to throw it to Alshon Jeffrey like he hasn't been able to do all year? And I just really look for Cleveland to make a statement today with Campbell and Jordan Cameron and that defense that the Bears don't belong in the playoffs. I'm looking for them to lose the game. I'm looking for the Bears to drop this one today, all because of the fact that they went back to Jay Cutler. I love Jay Cutler. That's my man. But I just don't see the right Jay Cutler coming out there today against Cleveland. Forte, you know Forte is going to do his thing. He's going to get his I don't know, Cleveland's defense to me, they're pretty good. They're definitely great against the run. I mean, they're great against the pass, but against the run, they're kind of shaky, so Forte's going to get his. On the other side of that ball, Campbell can have a great game. Now, if Chicago plays the type of defense that they've been playing against these receivers, you can see Josh Gordon post his third 200-yard game in a season, which I don't know if any receivers have ever done that in NFL history.
No.
So he can possibly do that. And Jason Campbell is showing everybody he's a viable quarterback. You know, he still has some things to work on, but for him to give it to Josh Gordon like that, and then for Josh Gordon to perform like that, Josh knows he's playing for a contract. He's going to go out there and give it his all, and I think he could definitely do it against these Bears. So Cleveland, I'm looking for Cleveland to at least win this by three. In Cleveland, in the snow.
McCown.
The one player that I feel so bad about in this game is Jason Campbell, man. You know, I just got, you know, the dude should be starting someplace. And he actually should be starting here, you know, with a different type of coach, but, you know, that dude always touched. I always got a soft spot when I think about him and stuff like that. When I watch him play and stuff, I'm hoping, you know, that he has a good game here. You know, I like the fact that he's there with Norvell. Norvell seems to, you know, work out any kind of quarterback in his system or whatever. That wide receiver out there in Cleveland, he has been a big surprise to me. He's been doing his thing. Like him, definitely want to take him. On the other side of the ball, Chicago, I think I'm going to agree with Ricky. I like Cleveland in this game. I think Chicago is going to take a step back because Cutler is a very good quarterback. One problem with him is he is extremely streaky. So, and he's coming in cold. He's gonna come in with a little bravado because he got to prove something. But I don't think he's gonna get the job done. That guy McCown looked exceptionally well in that system. He was playing like a man possessed. So, and Cutler's been running this offense since the beginning of the season, and I don't remember any games he looked like that. He looked, you know, decent in games. He looked good in some games, but he didn't look like McCown. I'm sorry, it's just a fact. But I do agree with the, you know, with them going back to Cutler because he is the starter. He ultimately has a bigger, a better upside than McCown. So I'm not faulting Chicago for that, but that prima diva wide receiver, what's his name, number 15, yeah, him. He should have a good game today. You know, granted, if somebody don't hit him and he start crying like a little, I ain't even gonna say it. Today's Sunday. This is the Lord's day. But him and Alshon Jeffrey should have a good game today. They shouldn't be too bad. Forte should get out there. And, so you want to take Forte. You want to take those wide receivers. And I don't know about Cutler. You know what I mean? He's going to do at least one interception today, and maybe more. Because like I said, I think he's a streaky quarterback. But when he gets on, he doesn't stop. He'll go. So this is a good time for him to get, you know, good game for him to get back in. It'll be a good time for him to get on the street. If he gets on the street starting, you know, today, they could make it back to the playoffs.
All right, Victor, quickly.
Real quick, I just agree that Gordon will have a good game. Jordan Cameron will have a good game. And on the opposite side, I disagree. I think Jay Cutler's going to have a very good game. The same weather conditions he do have when he's at Vanderbilt. Brandon Marshall will have more targets. Alshon Jeffries will drop off because he does not like to throw to Alshon Jeffries. Another guy to play, especially in this case, Martellus Bennett. He's a favorite target of Jay Cutler's. There you go.
Rev, you had something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say something, JT. I can even see a scenario where the Cleveland defense, where they start blitzing Cutler a lot and they maybe get some licks on him in that cold. We might see Josh McCown in this game. It's feasible.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next game. We got about 17 minutes left on regular time. let me go to Arizona versus the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to give one sleeper guy in there that I think should have a good day because the Tennessee Titans up to this point have given up 18 rushing touchdowns. I know Rashad Mendenhall is the starting running back for the Arizona Cardinals, but I think because the versatility of Andre Ellington, I think he can have a very big day today and can be a big sleeper pick. Definitely a flex play, and it could be a low-end RB2 in this game, to tell you the truth. I like him a lot in this game. I'm going to give the other players in this game passed off to whoever wants to pick him up, starting with Rev Fantasy.
Okay, hey, in this game, I've been biting my tongue. Carson Palmer's been playing some ball the last 6 weeks. He's really, I think, in Bruce Arena's offense, he's kind of taken off. He's gotten comfortable. And him, and I think what's helped is having Michael Floyd come along, taking that pressure off in the passing game off of Larry Fitz. So I think they're flat it out today. You know they're going to throw the ball 30-plus times with Carson Palmer. So you got to like having Larry Fitzgerald as a wide receiver one in this. You start Carson Palmer as a QB2. And, you know, Michael Floyd is still a question mark. He's a little banged up. So you wait a game time decision to make a decision on him.
But like you said, JT, Rashard Mendenhall and Andre Ellison, that could be a good sleeper pick this week for you for fantasy-wise. I think the yards could be there. On the other side of the ball, I think Delanie Walker could be a good pick this week for you if you're looking for a tight end. He has great appeal against that Cardinals defense, and they're awful. And they're terrible against tight end play this year. And I think I'm looking for that Cardinals defense possibly to stand up today and get some turnovers for you, too, against Arizona. So, I mean, I think they could, I mean, against freaking Titans. I'm not sold on Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Chris Johnson doesn't really scare me anymore. So I think that defense, Patrick Patrick, can have a big day. They got tackling machines all over the field with guys like Washington. So I think the turnovers could be there today for their defense also and special teams-wise. I'll go ahead and hand it off to Ricky.
Well, being a recipient of Mr. CJ 2-No-Show K this year, I really don't think he's going to even show up in this game. The Cardinals defense looks they've been great all season. I mean, depending on what you're looking at. Against the run, they've only allowed two teams to get over 100 yards running against them in the season. So, and as you know, CJ has only gotten one game over 100 running yards. So, if you have him like I do, you better sit him on the bench because he's not really going to do too much. But on the other hand, though, Fitzpatrick has been kind of touching his Buffalo days as far as passing goes. And I'm not really a big fan of their receivers, but because of the fact that they lost Tyrann Mathieu for the year, and the only thing they got back there now is Peterson and I can't never think of that other guy's name, but they still have a decent secondary without Mathieu. I do think that Fitzpatrick can find some holes in that defense, so they're going to be passing a lot, at least to get past them. Now, like Rev said, the Cardinals have Carson Palmer has really kind of stepped his game up these past 5 weeks because they only got five losses, and they're really fighting. They can get. I think they're going to get in the playoffs as a sixth seed. So, with them, they're going to have a tough time running because I don't think the Titans are going to give them too much as far as running, and then, too, Ellington. Ellington's good, but he still has to show me something to put him in a different category. Fitz, if you got Larry Fitz, play him. If you got Delanie Walker on Tennessee side, play him. Even that tight end that Arizona has, I think it's Hausler.
Hausler, yeah.
I think he's the starter. Play him. Definitely play him because they can get inside on that Titans defense. I'm going to give this to Arizona in Tennessee.
Mikal.
I'm sorry. I got no dog in this fight. No dog.
Okay.
In this
fight. No problem. Victor.
Go back to the notes and to the show. I do believe that this is a very good game for the Cardinals. And what the hell is going on?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My thought process is that you look at Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd is going to have a great game. I disagree with you guys. Delanie Walker will not have a good game at all, not at all this week, along with CJ
really?
TK. I don't think Delanie Walker is going to have a good game at all. I think he'll be okay, but I don't think he'll be that guy that propels you or your team to the next level in fantasy playoffs. I think
wow.
He's a low-end tight end number one this week, low end.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of
check down. He's a check down guy.
Fitzpatrick is a check down guy going to Delanie Walker, going against the defense that allows the most fantasy points to tight ends, and you say Delanie Walker is not going to have a good game?
And you got to remember.
So. You know what?
And this is why he doesn't make the playoffs.
You got to remember, too, Tennessee don't have a wideout.
But listen, hold on. First of all, I'm going to shut the Reverend up because last year I won the championship on his back, so shut up, Reverend. Number two, there are many things that I said this year that you guys all scoffed at. and all of them except for one have come true. So, you know, I look at this matchup and say this. If the Cardinals know that all they have is Delanie Walker and they already are good at stopping the run, what does that tell you they're going to focus on? Delanie Walker. Now, Nate Watson isn't bad. Wright isn't bad. But Wright or Britt or any of those guys are going to do well against Patrick Peterson. If anything, they better hope they can go against Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie at the other cornerback, which I don't think they can do either. So that leaves the strong safety. I think it's still Adrian. No, it's not Adrian. It's Jeremiah Bell. Jeremiah Bell and a linebacker to double up on Delanie Walker. I'm telling you, looking at this from a different perspective, I don't think Walker's going to be a high-end tight end one. I think he's a low-end tight end one, and he might be good for maybe in a standard league, maybe 5 points. In a PPR, he'll get his catches. He's not going to get the yards. He's not going to get in the end zone. That's why I look at it, and that's why I put it there and say that. But, yeah, I played Michael Floyd in this one big time. Larry Fitz is an obvious person. I just think quite differently. Even though it's in Tennessee, I still think Arizona wins this game, and those are my guys.
Okay. Let's move on to the Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts. My Houston Texans, who are 2-2
Hey, JT, I'll say a prayer for them when I go to church today, man.
they may be on to their 12th consecutive loss. I do like Case Keenum in here. Last time he played the Indianapolis Colts, he threw for over 350 yards and three touchdowns. So I do like him in this. Let me put it this way. I have on one of my rosters Case Keenum and Jason Campbell, and I'm trying to figure out which one I want to play. I think both of them, in my opinion, are good plays. I want to try to maximize which one I'm going to play. So up until 1 o'clock, I'll probably have a choice on who I'm going to actually put in because I think both of them have pretty good matchups. You play Ben Tate because I think you can definitely run on Indianapolis. I think Andrew Luck, he's playing home, and I think he found a newfound toy. Listen to what I'm saying here. I think this kid, he's been trouble. He's had a trouble past. He's probably not as bad as Justin Blackmon, but he's very close to a Josh Gordon type of guy. The guy's got a hell of a lot of talent, but in between the ears is the issue. I'm talking about Derek Rogers. He showed out last week. He finally was able to get into the game and get some decent snaps, and he capitalized on it. I think Andrew Luck is going to be going to this guy quite a bit in the future, and I'm looking, even though Houston has a very good pass defense, they really stink against the rush. I think that David Rogers is going to have a decent day. He could be a flex, a wide receiver 4. I wouldn't trust him enough to be a wide receiver 1 or 2, maybe a wide receiver 3, a low-end wide receiver 3. But if you have a room in your roster and you want to take a flyer, you're looking for a chance to pick up some points, I think Andrew Luck is going to be thrown to this guy. T.Y. Hilton has proven that he's really not that Reggie Wayne type of guy. I know he's going to be involved in the offense. But look for Derek Rogers. I really like this kid for what I'm seeing. Other than that, and maybe Kobe Fleener, but Kobe Fleener is the type of guy, I don't think he's going to be getting an end zone. He's probably in between the 20s. Quite naturally, he's going to play Andre Johnson. That's what I was saying. Andre Johnson's a wide receiver 1. Other than that, Rev, talk to me.
Hey, JT. Yeah, hey. I'm a little nervous too, man. I'm gonna have to do some praying. I don't think I could put my playoff hopes into Casey Keenum's hands.
Yeah.
I just that makes me too nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Casey Keenum in this game. However,
okay.
you have to play the odds, so you have to start Andre Johnson as a wide receiver 2, praying that Keenum, when he does throw it, that's who he is going to throw it to 80% of the time. Ben Tate, you know, I would definitely start him in a flex this week, give him a look. Garrett Graham, this is a guy that's kind of floated on the radar all year.
He's out.
He's out this week?
Yes, I do believe he's out.
So even if he's out this week, I was going to say I didn't like the matchup. On the other side of the ball, Andrew Luck, he's been inconsistent as hell over the last couple of weeks, and you can see that their offense kind of been floundering a little bit. But we talked about Kobe Fleener. The Texans defense, I do a little research, they've given up to tight ends out of the last five weeks, they've given up at least a touchdown or two to opposing tight ends. So I look for that trend to continue today. So if you need a tight end, I'm starting in some of my leagues, Kobe Fleener this week. And the guy, I'm scared to start him, but if you need a flex play, I would look at Donald Brown in this game.
Huh.
Texans defense are kind of, it's Jekyll and Hyde. It's kind of like the Browns defense. You don't know what you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
You could either get paid or you could get stonewalled. So I would roll the dice on Donald Brown this week, because I'm sure when they get down in that red zone, he's going to win. That's going to get those carries over Trent Richardson. But from a fantasy aspect, I don't like this game. I don't think it offers much either way. So I'll go ahead and hand it off to Ricky.
This game, like you say, it is a hurtful game from a fantasy aspect because you really don't know who to go with. I've been sitting on Indianapolis running back for the whole year, and they've been disappointments for the whole year, so they've just been sitting on the bench. But they have done pretty well. Well, no, they haven't. They've been okay against Houston. The only good thing about this game is it's in a dome. I don't trust Houston's defense because of baby bum Phillips. I don't trust their offense because of baby bum Phillips. It's just the fact that they even had this man as the head coach. I don't trust him no more. So I have to go.
Those were really like bum Phillips.
I have to. I don't like baby bum Phillips. I don't. But I will make it known. If he becomes available next year, please, Redskins, pick him up as a defensive coordinator. Because he can do way better than anything we have.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, I do like Kobe Fleener. I think that is like a great matchup for him against Houston. Rev made a great point. Houston's given up too much against the tight end the past 5 out of 6 weeks or 6 out of 7 weeks, whatever it was. They've given up too much. And Kobe Fleener, he knows how to find that end zone. He knows how to go and get his yard. Their wide receiver situation is up in the air. So, like you say, Derek Rogers, he could get a good look today. He can get actually a great look today to get that Houston defense. From the other side of it, Andre Johnson, if they can get him the ball, because the quarterback play has been like up and down. It's been up and down. And they really made me mad with the way that they've been using the guy that we were so high on all year, DeAndre Hopkins, because he's
mm-hmm.
supposed to be like that other piece that either opens Andre Johnson up or opens that offense up to get them to the playoffs. We definitely
right.
had them like close to the AFC Championship this year. So
right.
That's like a disappointment. But I'm going to go with Andy because I think that they do have the overall better game plan and the better team.
Rick, I mean, Mikal.
I got no dog in this. I got no dog in this fight.
No problem. Vic.
All right. With that being said, you guys are all on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline. Thank you. They're sponsored by, they're sponsoring this program also, as well as FSP Cruise Show and Fantasy Sports Office. Go to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com where winners win and they also play. With that being said, you have to look at, because I know you didn't
do it. That's crazy.
I'm in that fight, and I've lost.
You're right, Victor. You're right. That's why I was laughing, but go right ahead. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
Anyway.
Good point.
Well, looking at this game, I mean, everybody said something pretty interesting. Donald Brown has done well against the Houston's defense. I don't know if it's because he's shiftier. I don't know if it's because he's able to just catch the ball better. But we brought up a point yesterday, Jerry, that there's a problem with Trent Richardson's vision. We're not talking about his actual vision. We're talking about his running vision. He can't hit a hole. And he can't, in the NFL, I don't know what it is, but his acumen for football is not where people thought it was. So looking at that, it's going to be a tough, tough match, you know, because Ben Tate will be running hard. He's looking for a contract next year. So these last couple games, if you can find Ben Tate, get Ben Tate, play Ben Tate, because he'll help you get to your championship if one of your running backs, such as mine, where I have four running backs that are studs that are out this week, such as Adrian Peterson, and Noshawn Marino did nothing, MJD's done, and all these other people. So Ben Tate's a good guy to play this week. Andre Johnson, as you said, Case Keenum likes to throw to Andre Johnson. DeAndre Hopkins, he's bothered by ankle and something else, and he hasn't been productive. The tight end situation in Houston. I'm not even sure who their other tight end is. I know Jerry knows, but with that being said, this game is not going to be a very good game for me, fantasy-wise or entertainment-wise. It could be a shootout, but I'm not sure if it's going to be one because it's going to be sloppy. That's what I mean. It's going to be a sloppy game. Without Reggie Wayne, Andrew Luck has suffered and he struggled. But they still won because they have a weak schedule and they have a weak division. But if you're looking for some extra people to throw on your team, this is the game that you might want to look at real quick before the game starts in about an hour or so. So with that being said, I don't care about anybody in these games. Darius Haywood Bey is a bust. The guy Jerry was talking about, he's a hit or miss guy. As you said, something in between his eyes. It's his brain. He just can't comprehend how to play this game on this level. And unless he's just going to be another Wallace and just run a nine route, to me, he's not somebody I can count on.
Well, when I said between his ears, I meant that he can be somewhat of a knucklehead. That's what the issue was. That's the reason why it took for him so long to get to where he's at now, because he's been such a knucklehead. He's been like Justin Blackman or Josh
exactly.
Gordon.
Exactly.
He's got a lot of ability. He's got a lot of ability.
It's his acumen.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is his acumen. If you understand the game and you understand your role, then you play your role. You exceed your role sometimes, but you learn how to play the game. And learning how to play the game is also being disciplined. And if this guy doesn't have that ability to do so, you know, then that's a problem, especially when he's thrust in front of the starting position.
Right.
You know, he bumped his former number one draft pick. So that's all I got on that.
Okay,
and I said
let's move on.
Wrong with Trent Richardson. He's not a,
he doesn't
not
have
a
Alabama's front line.
No, he's not a zone block runner. That's a zone block scheme they running. He can't. He's a power runner. That's all it is. He can't run behind zone blocking. Look at the way Donald Brown runs. He's a one cut runner.
Yeah.
Hey JP, hey, I agree with you, man. I think, you know, like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, when they first Cleveland traded him, I took off my jersey, my Bernie Kosar jersey, and I burned it. So I was a little upset, but I think that system in Indianapolis, kind of like being out here on the West Coast and watching Darren McFadden last year.
Yeah.
And
right.
Blocking, it does just not do it for him. He's a north-south runner.
Yeah, he's a downhill runner. That's all he's been. In Alabama, he got his yards running downhill, period.
What,
and nobody can stop
said,
him.
Though, was his football IQ. That was one of his knocks coming out of college was his football IQ.
About.
No.
And
I think that comes into play also. I think that's the other half of it. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland seen something where they said, "Hey, this guy is the sharpest tool in the shed."
Exactly.
Let's get this guy out of here and let's rebuild. I'm gonna be truthful. Cleveland's front office, they're looking like they know what the hell they're talking about because at the time everybody thought they were smoking dope and
Right.
Yep. And it's not looking like that now. He doesn't even look like
that. That's exactly what Vic and I brought up yesterday, that his IQ for a running back didn't look like what it should be. And Michael Lombardi is no dummy. So from Cleveland.
Yeah,
he's not. So.
And
so,
then you look at Eddie Lacy. Look at Eddie Lacy in Green Bay. If you put Trent Richardson out there in Green Bay, he's going to do the same thing Eddie Lacy doing, busting heads open and getting down the field north and south.
Right.
Eddie Lacy can't survive in his own block scheme either. That's just the way Alabama plays ball. Nick Saban has those boys. That's how they do.
Power high and run it north south.
Yep. Anyway, let's move on to the next game. The New Orleans Saints visit the St. Louis Rams. I like everything about this New Orleans Saints team playing the St. Louis Rams. Everybody said New Orleans has a hard time playing on the road. Yes, they have a hard time playing on the road outside. This is inside. Ideal conditions like New Orleans likes. I know that a lot of people think St. Louis has got a good defense. Well, Drew Brees, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, Jimmy Graham, and Marcus Colston are going to show them how well St. Louis plays at home against the New Orleans Saints. I like all those guys to start in some capacity. Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles in the flex type. Jimmy Graham, quite naturally, the tight end one. Marcus Colston is a wide receiver too, maybe somewhat of a flex in this game. Zach Stacy, regardless of who he goes against, you play Zach Stacy. There's no two ways about it. This kid's a mini ball, let me put it that way, and you got to play him. Otherwise than that, Tavon Austin is out, and there's really nothing else besides Zach Stacy on the St. Louis side that scares me or anybody else. Rev, talk to me.
Hey, JT, guys, hey, like you said, man, you said the exact sentiments I was thinking. Their offense is going to bounce back this week for New Orleans. They're going to put up huge numbers today. So I look at a plethora of players that are just going to get crazy today. Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colston was terrible the first half of the season, but in the recent weeks, Drew Brees has found him and worked him back into the offense. So I look for him to be that number one receiver again for them. You said it. The guy I look for today that I've been looking across all fantasy guys that are professionals, they say the same thing. I thought Pierre Thomas, I think this game is built for him with them screens, the red you know, zone looks. I think he could be a real – he has fantasy upside today as a RB2 to definitely flex play. Darren Sproles, I mean, he hasn't done much lately, but I could see him getting a lot of touches this week also in the – I think he's an RB3 to flex play also. The thing is, I don't like nothing on the St. Louis side other than Zach Stacy. But the good thing about Zach Stacy, let me tell you something, is when he plays against weak competition, it seems like this guy doesn't do that well. When he plays against solid competition, he beats it out. So I think this week being against New Orleans and being on that stage and New Orleans defense is no joke either. I think I look for Zach Stacy to have a pretty solid game, and he's definitely going to he'll be an RB1 for you this week. As far as anything else on Lewis' side, I don't like it. I would, and I'll hand it off to Rick.
Two points that I've heard that have now, and one of them Rev just said that make me think about this particular matchup. Number one, I read somewhere, I think it was either last week or maybe a couple of weeks ago, New Orleans is trying to save Darren Sproles for later. And that's why I don't think he's going to be a factor this week, because I don't think they're purposely not running him. Because if you noticed a couple of weeks ago or like maybe 3-4 weeks out of this season sometime ago, Darren Sproles got hurt. It takes him maybe a game or two games to get back when he got the concussion or when he hurt his ankle or something like that. But when he's back, he's a threat. He's a serious threat. So I think that they're really trying to save him for that playoff that time in the playoffs, regardless if they're on the road or at home. Because if you look at the makeup of this team, yeah, Darren Sproles does great, but he did great when he was in San Diego also, which was an outdoor team. They know they're probably going to end up having to go on the road at some point. So they'll need him. They're definitely going to need him. Now, number two, Zach Stacy. I like this kid, and me and Vic had said it way before the season started. Why they're not starting this dude from the jump, nobody knows. But you kind of hit it on the head when you said Zach Stacy steps up in games where the teams are more physical compared to when the teams aren't that physical. He's been like that. But I don't think the Rams can do it for some reason. Their offensive line. That's probably why he's been, like, ineffective at certain points. I don't like the Rams at all. They don't have anything out there. They don't have a quarterback. The quarterback that they had, he's gone. They don't have anything at wide out. They don't have anything but Zach Stacy at running back. But I still wouldn't put Zach Stacy out there, not against the Saints, because that's the only thing they got to stop. Kayvon's not playing today. So, I mean, what else do you have to worry about? You know, I'm New Orleans, if you got anybody from New Orleans, play him. I just wouldn't play Darren Sproles because I don't think they're going to use him as much. I think, just like I said, they're going to save him up. For they want him to be prepared for when they get that playoff run going.
Vic, I mean, Macau.
I like the Saints in this game. That's all we got.
Vic.
We're now overtime, sponsored by FantasySportsbookCasino.com. We're winning
Jesus
game in third
Christ.
Place. So
shameless,
before,
shameless plug.
Say, there you go. Got to do it. Hey, got to get some money here somehow.
Yeah, I'm paying my guys right now.
But the bottom line is this. You know, they're a 7-point favorite to beat St. Louis, especially if you go to that site I just mentioned, FantasySportsBookCasino.com. You'll see they're a 7-point favorite. One of our callers yesterday had mentioned that New Orleans does not play well away. And Jerry has said that before as well. Now, I think that Rob Ryan has that defense peaking at the right time. They're getting better. They lost a key opponent, Jabari Greer, at corner, but they're still able to pull things together. Marquise Colson has made an appearance. I said it yesterday. Marquise Colson is going to get you a touchdown or two today. He might not get you a lot of yards, but he's going to get you a touchdown. So is Jimmy Graham. I agree. I said it yesterday. Darren Sproles, he's a big disappointment to me, especially in the PPR. He's supposed to be the top 10 PPR guy. He hasn't produced that this year. But Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram are going to be the linchpin to the passing game today. St. Louis has a great defensive front seven. Great defensive front seven. I still don't think they're going to be able to do it. So from that aspect, I wouldn't even play John Laurinaitis because they're going to throw the ball. Laurinaitis isn't going to be there. But if they run the ball, New Orleans that is, he's going to be in there making some tackles. But Robert Quinn, a defensive tackle with that explosiveness, and ability to get sacked and get tackles behind the line of scrimmage, that's the guy I would play if I'm in one of those deeper, longer IDP formats where you have to play a D-tackle or a defensive lineman. So that's my thoughts on that. Keep it moving, Jay.
All right, let's go to the New England Patriots visiting the Miami Dolphins. Now, Mr. FSP has said that he thought that Miami was going to win the division. They're not going to win the division, but they're going to give a stiff fight against the New England Patriots today, especially with Gronkalist. In my opinion, Tom Brady's a weak play today. That's all they have, basically. I mean, they got Shane Vereen, who they're going to be throwing it to, along with Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola. But the Miami defense and the pass defense is pretty good. So if you have Shane Vereen, especially in a PPR, he's a huge play today, RB1. He beats it out last week. Excuse me, and I'm thinking he's going to do the same this week to make up for the Gronkless New England Patriots. Aaron Dobson is out. Kembrill Tompkins is out. They have Danny Amendola, Julia Edelman, and Shane Vereen in the pass game. That's basically who they have in the pass game, along with Tom Brady. Ryan Tannehill. This is another guy. If you are strapped for one reason or another, you had RG3, and he got benched. You're unable to pick up Kirk Cousins, and the only person that is viable sitting on the waiver wire is Ryan Tannehill. I would start him against this really bad New England Patriots pass defense with confidence. He's playing at home, for one, and he's been balling out pretty well over the last half of this season. And I would play him with confidence against this New England Patriots at home. The running game, Daniel Thomas, Lamar Miller, good luck. You never know which one's going to do anything in this because they split the carries so much. Charles Clay is a solid, extremely solid play against New England as a tight end one. And I look for not Mike Wallace, but I look for Brian Hartline to have a better game than Mike Wallace in this game. I think Brian Hartline is a decent wide receiver too, in my opinion. Rev, talk to me. Preach to me.
Let me spit a little Wallace for you there, JT. Hey, I think everything you said is pretty much I just want to recap on. I don't like Tom Brady in this matchup at all. Without Gronk,
right.
I think he'll spread it around, and that's why I said from a fantasy aspect, I don't know who I would buy into from New England side on offense. I would like to believe, just me being me, I definitely like Shane Vereen. Like you said, PPR leagues, he's the new Darren Sproles, right? So he's going to get all the check downs. That's who they throw it to out of the backfield. They get creative with him. Other than that, all those wide receivers, you never know, man. I was so high on Amendola, thinking this guy was a PPR legend for the last 4 years. I'm thinking he's going to work magic with Tom Brady, and it just hasn't happened due to injuries.
Nope.
And just due to lack of production. So if I had to pick one receiver from New England now, I look for it to do something today. I like Edelman's production over the last 2 weeks. He's just that guy that kind of just – he finds holes. So I look for him when they're in that red zone today. I think he's going to be their number one guy going forward at the receiver position. On the flip side of things, like you said, Tannehill, I think he could be a nice sleeper pick for someone this week. New England's defense does not scare anybody. And so I think Tannehill could be a decent a spot starter if you need someone. It still makes you nervous putting your playoff aspirations with Ryan Tannehill, but I like the matchup for him going forward. The guy I look for to have a big day, and it seems like he throws it to him a lot, is Charles Clay. I think Charles
right.
Clay, this game, this guy is gonna he could do something today. Definitely when they're in the red zone, he looks for Charles Clay. That's the number one guy he looks for, and so he gets most of their production when they're down in that red zone. And from a fantasy aspect, that's all you can ask for. Like you said, Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas. Oh God, I need to take some roid rates right now because they just give me heartburn. You know what I mean? Like that tandem, I didn't like it going at the start of the season when everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid, saying that Lamar Miller was going to be something. There was a reason why he didn't beat Daniel Thomas out last year. You know what I mean? Both guys, there's nothing that one separates the other from. So, like you said, they kind of void each other out from a fantasy aspect. They'll probably both get about 10 to 12 carries. And to me, they just don't pose a threat to hit a home run ball on anybody. So, from a fantasy aspect, I don't like neither one of those guys. And then, like you said, Brian Hartline, the guy, he's a pro's pro. He's going to run routes. He runs crisp routes. He doesn't have blazing speed, but he gets open. And when he's open, he catches the ball. You know, so he's definitely a guy in PPR leagues where he doesn't get you a lot of yardage, but he gets a lot of receptions. And from a PPR aspect, that's huge. Same thing we always talk about week to week, JT, Mike Wallace, this guy is one-dimensional. He proved us wrong 2 weeks ago when he had his coming-out party, if you want to call it that. But I still don't drink the Kool-Aid on this guy either, man. Very much one-dimensional. And when you're one-dimensional, New England's crafty enough defensively where they'll take him away. So from a fantasy aspect, that's pretty much all I have. I'll go ahead and hand off the whiskey.
Rick?
As much as I love the Dolphins, I just can't go with them. I mean, I don't even know exactly who to pick in this game. I think New England can still win it, especially in Miami. But like you say, it's, when you lose Gronk, you lose a lot. I'm just going to look and see if Ridley comes out and performs without fumbling again for the second week in a row. I think he can, actually. I really think that him, Vereen, and, believe it or not, Brian Bolden are all three going to do what they have to do. You will see LeGarrette Blount, but I don't know. Brian Bolden might not even be activated this week. He wasn't last week. But as far as receivers go, they let Pittsburgh get all over them when it came to the passing game. Cottery got in. Sanders got in. Brown got in. What makes you think Brady can't do the same thing? Yeah, he doesn't have Gronk, but he's not the whole team. I know he doesn't have Dobson and Tompkins, but he still has Amendola. He has Edelman. All of his backfield can go out and catch a pass. So he still has weapons, and he makes people play. I think New England goes ahead and pulls this out. Now, if Miami does win this game, then I'll say New England's season is probably over. But right now, I got to give it to New England. I think they're going to win it. As far as Miami goes, just like Red said, I've never been high on Mike Wallace. Jerry, you and Vic, y'all love this dude. But he's worthless to me because he's one-dimensional. That's it. He can't do anything else. He did it, what, twice out of this year? There's 16 games in a year. He does it twice. That's worthless to me. Other than that, I think Hartline's going to do his thing. And Charles Clay, I like this dude, Charles Clay. He reminds me of like a Jay Novacek or a Jason Witten. This dude is tough. He's good. Charles Clay today, he's going to get hit. But other than that, I really think New England's just going to go ahead and take this game.
McCown.
Yeah, of course I like the New England Patriots in this game. The New England Patriots gives everyone fits. I mean, they give the folks down there in Las Vegas fits because they never cover or they overcover. They can never get the point spread right on this team. Fantasy owners, y'all have a headache with this team. You know, unless you have Brady. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the defense, but you don't know if that defense will show or not or whatever. So I can understand your frustrations with the Patriots. But they are going to win this game. They are going to go down there, and they are going to find a way to whoop up on the Dolphins because this is what they do. This is what they do. This is what Belichick does. He's a mad genius, and he's got – you know, he's got Brady, you know, and they're going to figure it out, and they're going to eke out a win between a 1 and 3 point win today.
Dick.
Miami. Move on.
That's it? Okay, no problem. Let's move on to Philly and Minnesota. Nick Foles, LeSean McCoy, even Brent Celek, because Minnesota's pass defense against the tight end has historically been bad. And DeSean Jackson and Riley Cooper, Minnesota's got one of the worst pass defenses going. Philly's going to be able to do whatever they want to do, whether they want to run the ball, whether they want to pass. Minnesota is in deep trouble. No AP, no Toby Gerhardt. Matt Asiata is going to be their every down back with only three carries, I think two or three carries ever in the NFL He's going to be the starting running back going against the Philly defense that's been playing quite well lately. I see Matt Castle even handing the ball off to Cordell Patterson to run the ball. I'm looking for Cordell Patterson and Greg Jennings to get more involved than ever in the offense because I see Matt Castle having to throw the ball because of the lack of running game. I'm not saying play Matt Castle. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that if you have Cordell Patterson or for some reason he's not he's sitting on a waiver wire, this is probably one of these days that you can use him definitely in a flex because he's going to get used a lot in the run game and in the passing game, just like he did last week. Greg Jennings is he could be used probably as a flex, a low side flex, because the fact is, like I said, they're going to be running, they're going to be passing the ball quite a bit. But the main fantasy focus of the players in this game are on the Philly side. Nick Foles, who's been playing lights out, only throwing one interception, over 20 passing touchdowns. LeSean McCoy, who ran crazy in the snow, and this is the turf, and he's going to run crazy against Minnesota. And DeSean Jackson and Cooper Riley, they have really basically no pass defense on backside in Minnesota, and these guys are going to run free and run off and into the end zone. Rev, preach to me.
Well, like you said, man, from the Eagles aspect standpoint, I think they're putting up monster numbers today. Nick Foles, I look for him. He's a solid QB1 going forward with their schedule. Shady, he might put up another 200 yards today against that Minnesota defense. Even though they tackle well, I just don't see them. They're just going to get run into the ground because they're going to be going three and out offensively. Like you said, the passing game is just going to demoralize Minnesota just because when you got DeSean Jackson, who's shown some versatility this year, other than just hitting the home run ball and being a Mike Wallace where he's one-dimensional, he's actually running routes and actually getting open and breaking those long runs like he has in the past. Riley Cooper has emerged, you know. He's definitely a wide receiver, too, in this game. Like you said, Brent Sellers could come into play in this game also. They give up a lot of yards to the tight end. So from the standpoint of Minnesota, I don't like nothing they got going. Only thing, like you said, is Cordell Patterson. I like this guy's potential. He could definitely, I think, be a wide receiver one in the next upcoming years for fantasy aspects. The problem is he don't have no one that can throw him the ball. And that's what's going to bring me to my next point. If I'm going to roll the dice on the defense today, I'm going to go with that Eagles defense. I think the turnovers could be there. It could be there. And so I would roll with another sleeper pick for me would be that Eagles defense. If you need a team defense today, they're available in most leagues because Philly's defense is nothing. They're not scary, but they tackle well. And I think in this game, they get a little pressure on Matt Castle, whoever's going to be playing quarterback. It doesn't matter, Josh Freeman, you know, Rev, Ricky, FSP, it don't matter. I think dial up the blitzes with get creative on defense, and they're going to turn the rock over. So that's all I have on this game.
Rick?
Hand it off to Ricky.
It's nothing to say, Philly. That's,
okay. Mikal.
Man, Philly should put up some Madden-like numbers in this game. No bullshit. Oh, excuse me. No doubt. Nick Foles is playing lights out. After this game, I look for him to have 26 touchdowns. To one interception ratio, you definitely want to start him. Any of the wide receivers, you know, just like Atlanta, if the Eagles decide to suit up a lineman, a defensive tackle, or offensive tackle, or wide receiver you want to start him to. JD should have a bomb day again today. Eagles all the way.
Thicker.
Matt Asiata. Remember that name. Matt Asiata. Today's surprise play of the weekend with Adrian Peterson down, with Toby Gerhardt down. Matt Asiata and Barnyard or Barnard are supposed to take over the running duties for Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be really big, because if you're going to get the ball first and tire out that Philly defense with the running game, it's going to work. That sets up Cordarrelle Patterson. That sets up Greg Jennings. That sets up Jerome Simpson. And I think with Matt Castle at the helm, he can manage the game enough to actually surprise Philadelphia in this game. Again, Matt Asiata is not a slouch. He's a nice back, especially going up against a smaller defense. He's a bruiser that can also catch the ball. So that's one of those sleeper guys. If you are in dire need, like I was, because Maurice Jones, Drew, Adrian Peterson, Wes Welker, who else did I have out? Somebody else I had out. Toby Gerhardt I had out. And Sean Marino gave me 5 points this week. So Asiata is a guy that I would look for in this game, and I'm calling Minnesota an upset.
Hey, JT.
Yeah.
You know what our rule is, man. If you can't say a dude's name, don't be trying to pick him up in fantasy, man.
Asiata.
Hey, FSP, we're going to need you to provide some specimen, because we think you're smoking some high dosage of chronic, bro.
Really?
Really? He said Minnesota in the
upset. Matt Asiata. This cat just was signed off the damn practice squad, and he's talking about this dude's talking about he's something. This guy's a bum, man.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks against the New York Giants. I think normally Seattle supposedly doesn't play well on the road. They've won quite a few games on the road of late. I think they're going to be setting the franchise record of winning the most road games on the road, if I'm not mistaken. I think this game, quite naturally, Seattle is basically a running team. But in my opinion, and this is my opinion, I think the New York Giants have been playing well against the run. I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to have a good day today. I think the way they're going to win this game is against on the arm of Russell Wilson having to throw the ball, because the Giants' pass defense is so horrible. So I'm looking for Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin to have some pretty good days today. I think you can play either one of these guys in a wide receiver three or a flex position, because I think they're going to have to run the ball, because I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to have a good day. On the other side, don't play Eli. This is a lost season for Eli Manning. Andre Brown has been playing pretty well, but I don't think he's going to play that well against the Seattle Seahawks defense. Even though Seattle's defense can be run on, I don't think he's going to be running too effectively on this. I feel sorry for anyone that has either Victor Cruz or Hakeem Nicks in this game, because you are definitely, if they're in your lineup and you're in the fantasy playoffs, you are definitely rolling the dice. Especially with Eli Manning as the quarterback, they're going to be an intense pass rush, and these DBs don't play, meaning Richard Sherman and company. So there's really, on my opinion, there's one guy, and he could probably be played in a flex, that I would want to play with some confidence, and that's Andre Brown. Victor Cruz is a... Like I said, a roll of the dice. You never know what you're going to get. He could have a monster game 1 week, and the next week he doesn't get any targets and no catches. So, Rev, I'm going to pass it off to you. Let me put it that way.
I disagree with you, JT, in some aspects, man.
Okay.
I think this game, guys, is built for Seattle. The weather, the arena, the stage. You know, if they win, they clinch home field. And we're talking about the Giants. Come on, guys. These guys
mm-hmm.
are terrible. They're terrible. You know, they're terrible offensively. They're terrible defensively. Terrible. I mean, so. But I do agree with you, JT. I think Russell Wilson had a monster day today. When the weather's kind of crappy out and he's playing against a suspect defense, this guy, he seems to perform a lot better on those stages. And I think when the chips are high and they need a W, this is the guy who they turn to get that. So I think Russell Wilson definitely had a huge day today. You know, beast mode, this is where I disagree with you, because a day like today – where it's going to be one of those freaking cold as hell, you know, it's going to be one of them ugly games, right? So when it's ugly and that's a Seattle kind of game, they turn the beast mode. So I think this is where he comes into play. You already know he'll get his touches. It's just a matter, will he get the yardage? The yardage might not be there for him, but I say the red zone looks will be there for him. So that's why I say he's definitely, to me, I'm still going with the RB1 on him. As far as you said Golden Tate, I think if I had to roll the dice today, I'm going with him at a flex today. On the flip side of things, I don't like nothing that the Giants got going offensively. Akeem Nix has been gone. Is he even still is he still playing? This guy, he's been MIA all year. And Victor Cruz, he's too busy doing the damn cha-cha and not getting open. So I don't think his matchup with those, like you said, those DBs ain't nothing to play with, man. If I had to say one receiver that I do like that maybe a matchup presents itself, and that could be Reuben Randall. I think Reuben Randall may be working against, you know, a third, you know, cornerback or maybe against some safety. I think his looks could be there, and I think it could be in garbage time because I think this game is going to be a one lopsided affair. Andre Brown, like you said, the matchup doesn't favor him, but you got to believe that if it's in a red zone look, I think he does get you a touchdown today. So if you need some kind of points from a flex play and you don't have nothing else, I would start him at a flex but not at an RB position. And the one thing I do like, though, in this matchup is I like Seattle's defense. Eli, you know, he's going to throw picks. And when he gets pressure, he gets happy feet. And that cold, when he starts getting tattooed, and those little hits, even when they rush him, they just nick him up a little bit. That's all it's doing is setting him up for throwing a pick six. Mark my words, there'll be a pick six in this game for Seattle. And I look for their defense up double-digit numbers today. I'll hand it off to Ricky.
Rick Turner, maybe two pick sixes for Seattle in this game, messing with Eli. You never know. I'm gonna take it a step further. Jerry said Marshawn Lynch is not gonna have a good day. I'm thinking the dude might even get nicked up. Some point he does get hurt before the season is over, and I think this might be it. New York has played a lot more physical on defense than they have this year. As of late, so he may get nicked up to the point where, believe it or not, they'll bring in Ronnie Turbin. A lot of people don't even know this dude, but they just bring him in there. Robert Turbin, my bad. As far as Seattle goes, I don't think for some reason that they're going to win this game because
I don't.
One, it's on the road. Yeah, we know. But two, this is the Giants' playoff. They not in the playoffs, but this is their playoff game. And, you know, they get in a mode. Eli might throw one or two picks, but they can still beat this team when you don't have the full, quote-unquote, Legion of Boom back there. I don't think that the running game for the New York Giants is going to do too much, but covering Victor Cruz and not Manahan, what's the guy's name? You know who I'm talking about.
Hicks.
Nick. covering Nick Cruz, that's going to be somewhat of a problem for them, I think. And then, too, Brandon Myers, believe it or not, he's been up and down for a year, but I think he might have a decent game this year. He might have a decent game. It's nothing too much. Seattle, I would stay away from Marshawn Lynch, just like Jerry said. I just don't feel as though he's going to have a good game this year, today.
Mikal.
Well, I'm going to tell you, one of the characteristics in our family is to stay true to form. So I'm going to stay true to form. I just love the opportunity to take a shot at any team that has the name New York in it. I can't stand the New York Giants. Absolutely hate it. With my Redskins being disgusting this year, I am reveling in the fact that the Giants are just terrible. So
okay.
Let me say this straight out. Seattle is going to whoop their ass. You know what I'm saying? They're going to whoop them. Look for Eli to throw 2 to 3 interceptions in this game. I don't agree with you. I'm taking Marshawn Lynch because them dudes can't. Once you get past him, ain't nobody else trying to hit. Nope. So I'm taking Marshawn, and I would take Marshawn, and I look for Russell to have a great game out there in New York. So, like I said, family trait, stay true to form, and I'm staying true to mine.
Okay. Victor.
Well, in this scenario, you got two good teams that one's going up, one's going down. I'm not sure about the Marshawn Lynch thing you got going, Jerry, but New York defense has stepped up a little bit the past couple weeks. I do think that Doug Baldwin is not going to be a good play because he's hobbled a bit. He's going to play, but I don't think he's going to be that effective. Hakeem Nicks, again, he's looking for a contract for next year, but this year hasn't looked too good for him. I do like John Carlson in this matchup, though. I do like him as a tight end. Not Carlson, because he's at Minnesota right now. Can you clear the tight end's name real quick?
Who are you talking about? Zach Miller or
yeah,
Miller.
Brandon Myers?
Zach Miller.
All right.
Zach Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I like Zach Miller here in this situation because I just don't see New York's defense doing well. And John Beeson is the reason why Marshawn Lynch may or may not have a good game. John Beeson is an animal. He plays middle linebacker for New York. And
right.
Since he's been there, that
yep.
defense has stepped up. JPP
yep.
has stepped up. Justin Tuck has somewhat disappeared, but Matthias Kiwanuka is there and all those other guys. So you might be right about the Marshawn Lynch deal, but you won't see much from Victor Cruz. So if you're hoping he's going to help you in your fantasy playoffs this week, you can hang that up. Other than that, Seattle wins the game. Eli is good for one or two interceptions. I do agree there.
Okay, let's move on to the Buffalo Bills at the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, as you guys know, whoever has MJD, and I happen to be one of them, lucky me, in my first week of the playoffs, I have AP and MJD on my team, and both of them are out. So I picked up Toby Gerhart, and Toby Gerhart is out. So luckily...
Hey, Matt, ask Vic about the Minnesota running back. They'll recommend him.
So luckily, I picked up. I have on my team the running back from Cleveland, who I definitely put in my lineup, and this guy, who I think is going to surprise. Just like Victor said, Matt Asiata is going to surprise in Minnesota, which I highly doubt. I think this guy has more of a chance of surprising people and being more of a threat because he has been getting touches and sharing some of the touches with MJD. I'm talking about Jordan Todman. Quick back, he had over 200 yards in the preseason, was pretty much sitting off on the shelf. because MJD was the main back. But until later in the season when MJD was getting nicked up, he started to incorporate him more into the offense, especially against this Buffalo Bills defense who gives up a lot of yardage to running backs, and they're playing at home. I like Jordan Todman as a real good sneaky pick if you don't have MJD. And if for some reason Jordan Todman's still sitting on the waiver wire, I wouldn't hesitate to pick him up and put him in to make up for it, because I think this kid, he's got a lot of quicks. He's very quick, and I think he's going to surprise the Buffalo Bills and a lot of people who are watching this game. So I do like Jordan Todman in this game as a flex option, and even a low-end RB2. That's how much I think of this kid. And I think he's going to have a decent day today on the Jacksonville Jaguars side, I should say, along with Mercedes Lewis as a low tight end two. And on the other side, you know, I'm not feeling C.J. Spiller. I'm feeling Fred Jackson against the Jacksonville Jaguars, believe it or not. I think Fred Jackson can be an RB2 in this game. I think he's got that capability. They're going to be leaning a lot on the a run due to E.J. Manuel struggling. They're going to be toning down the offense to be more E.J. Manuel friendly. So, and one of those things is going to be running the ball a lot, and that includes Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, with Fred Jackson the one I would like the most out of that. Talk to me, Rev.
Hey, JT. This game in kind of a wash for me, honestly, from a fantasy aspect. I don't really see much there. You did mention another guy I was going to mention was Jordan Todman. Yeah, this guy, I'm not going to go out there and claim he's going to do something, but I think the touches are going to be there. So against the Buffalo Bills defense, they're not playing for nothing. Their star middle linebacker, what's his name, Kiko Alonso, he's out. The guy's a beast. That opens up the middle of the field. And like you said, those two, if I had to pick two people from the Jacksonville side, it would be Jordan Todman and Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis, people sleep on him. He used to be a top five tight end a couple years ago, and then he kind of fell off the fantasy map for the last 2 years due to injury. But the last 2 weeks, he's shown up, and he's getting a score. And he's getting you yards. So it seems like Chad Henning's been looking his way the last 2 weeks. So with the middle of the field open, I think that could be there for you. I just don't know if I'm putting my playoff aspirations in the hands of Jordan Todman and Lewis. I'm not going to go there. But
okay.
On the Buffalo side of things, I just don't like this matchup for them offensively, because C.J. Spiller, he's kind of like MJD, man. Everybody was like, C.J. Spiller this, C.J. Spiller. I'm like, dude, don't drink the Kool-Aid, because this guy, they always say he's going to be the stud. And then the workhorse, Fred Jackson, always outworks him, and by the end of the season has more yards.
Right.
So I have Fred Jackson on a lot of teams. I don't like him this week either. I'm going to play him, but I don't have a warm and fuzzy on him this week. I'll tell you, the Jags defense is actually a lot better than what people give credit for. They're pretty tough. In the last couple of weeks, they've been playing pretty stout. So I think if you really need it, I'm telling you, let the ref pray a little bit on this one. If you need a defense, this could be a sleeper defense this week, because I think special teams could come into play. So I think both these guys' kickers could actually be the stars of the game, actually. I'll hand it off to Ricky.
Are they in Buffalo or they in Jacksonville?
Yep. Jacksonville.
They're at Jacksonville.
Okay. I'm going with Jacksonville. Because the way that E.J. Manuel disappointed me and caused me a playoff loss last week, I refuse to go with anything on the Bills side. So I'm going with Jacksonville. I don't As far as fantasy goes, both teams suck. That's all it is to it.
Okay. Mikal.
Is this, are y'all sure these teams going to play? What they playing for?
Yes, they have to play.
Is anybody going to watch this game? I mean, really? I got no dog in this fight.
Only if they're going to be on the red zone, you're going to have to watch them. Anyway, let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, this is what I want to do. We got six games left and not too much time left. So what I want to do is this. I want you guys to pick one player, either a sleeper or the best player that you think is going to be fantasy-wise on either team, so we can go through these games. I'm not worried about who wins, who loses. I'm just talking about fantasy here. So 49ers versus the Buccaneers. In this game, I like Michael Crabtree, Red Fantasy.
I'm going to have to stick to my bread and butter. I'm going to go with Frank Gore and Vernon Davis.
Okay. Ricky.
You took my guy. You know, that's where I'm starting. Crabtree, San Fran, all day.
Okay. Mikal.
Well, I can't think of that backup running back. Is it Hunter?
Is that Kendall Hunter. Yes, Kendall Hunter.
That's the guy. That's that guy.
Okay. It's funny nobody picks anybody from Tampa Bay, but that's okay. Let's move on to the New York Jets versus the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to pick Greg Olsen. Rev.
I'm actually going to go on the flip side of things. I'm going to go with Luke Kuechly, the linebacker for the Carolina Panthers.
Kuechly?
I think you have a monster day tackle-wise.
Okay. Ricky.
Jerry, you keep picking my guys. This is why I tabbed you for this adventure we're going to go on next year.
Yes, exactly. You know that. All right, Mikal.
I'm going to agree with the Reverend. I like Kuechly as well.
Okay. Let's move on to, well, this is obvious, but I'm not going to pick the obvious. The Chiefs at the Raiders. I'm going to go with.
Don't do it.
I'm going
go ahead,
to go with
it.
Rod Streeter.
Okay, good. He ain't do it.
Rev.
Let me tell you, one name, he's a beast, hand down. He might get you 200 yards a day, Jamaal Charles.
Ricky.
I'm going to go with the guy that you probably were going to go with, the backup, Mr. Niles Davis.
Yes. I really like that kid, Niles Davis.
Yeah.
The few times he's got in there, he's going to be a problem whenever he gets a lot more touches. Trust me.
Right.
Anyway, Mikal. Oh, Mikal dropped off. All right, let's move on to the Packers at the Cowboys.
Ooh.
Okay, let me see who I'm going to pick here. I'm going to pick out, not someone obvious, I'm going to pick out Andrew Quarles.
Rev.
I'm going with RBs in this game. I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy and DeMarco Murray.
That's
okay.
Good. They're definitely going to get there. I'm going with my guy because this secondary of the Cowboys is so weak. I'm going with my man, Jordy Nelson. Jordy.
Okay. The Bengals at the Steelers. This is going to be a game I really want to watch. I really like what the Steelers are doing. I'm not a big Steelers fan, but I do like what the Steelers are doing, especially against with this running back. I'm going to pick Le'Veon Bell. I really like this kid. I think he's going to be a beast next year. Rev.
I'm going with the safe play on this one, man. I'm going with Antonio Brown. He showed last week the guys up. East. And one sleeper guy for you, I think
we can't forget about A.J. Green. I think it's meant for the receivers in this game.
Definitely. That's who I was going with. But a sleeper that nobody is thinking of, because this is a divisional matchup and it's going to be a hell of a defensive game, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Okay. All right. And the last game, which would be the Monday night game, Ravens at the Detroit Lions. And I think this is going to be, in my opinion, probably going to be a shootout. I'm going to go with who do I want to go with here? I'll go with this guy, Nate Burleson. Yes. Nate Burleson, absolutely.
Okay. I can't argue with you there, JP. I'm going to roll with a sure thing, man. And I tell you, I think he's going to have a monster day. It's Torrey Smith, man.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely think you're right about that one. Against that bad, very bad defense, defensive backfield of Detroit. Ricky, talk to me.
I got two. Ray Rice, because I really think there's a problem going on with that Detroit defensive line that nobody can pinpoint yet, but I'm going to go with Ray Rice. And on the other side, I'm going to go with that rookie. I think he's a rookie anyway, Marlon Brown and wideout.
Yes.
I think he can have a great day against Detroit. Just like you say, Torrey Smith is going to have his, but I think Marlon Brown's going to get his also. He's at least going to get one touchdown.
I was thinking instead of Marlon Brown, it might be Dennis Pitta this week.
That's true, because he, yo, that game last week, he targeted the hell out of Pitta, and Pitta stepped up. He stepped up.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, that concludes week 15 in fantasy for us. We're going to be looking forward to the games. I'm going to say good luck to Ricky against our matchup. Good luck and bad luck, Rick. I'm going to have to tell you that. because
again.
This is deja vu all over again. We meet again for
once
the second
again.
Week in a row.
Yeah.
But we definitely have to do the collaboration. There's no two ways about it. There's no two ways about
we
that.
We got to. That's what you call a money maker.
Yes. And so I'm going to say good luck to the Rev in his fantasy playoffs scenarios. Hopefully he comes out on top on all of them, quite naturally. That would be ideal. And hopefully I can be successful in the majority of mine. You guys, before we get out of here, which we have very little time left, you want to say anything quick, Rev?
Oh, hey, man, I had a great time today talking fantasy, man. And, hey, like you said, next week, when the smoke clears, we'll see who's left standing. So good luck to all our listeners out there, and hang in there.
Rick?
Hey, same thing. Good bad luck to you, Jerry. Good luck to you, Rev, and yours, and all the listeners, of course, and for Mr. FSP, next week you'll be outside looking like everybody else.
I hear you. With that being said, we are out.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank, or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing.